If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy tonight. It's in my heart tonight. I was praying about it this afternoon and just continuing on the thought of the importance of the grace of God. I kind of got settled on it, and I began to look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. That's where we're going tonight. And then I came in, and I had a card that come in the mail. And down in the bottom left-hand corner of the card, it said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Amen. Amen. I didn't need anything else, but it's good to know you're on the right track. Amen. God is good. Well, y'all just sit there and go to sleep if you want to. I said, God is good. Amen. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Amen. Let me read a verse or two in 2 Thessalonians. This is our springboard for these messages. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's certainly been a blessing to me. The Bible said, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. I believe Paul, better than anybody else, knew the importance of the grace of God in the lives of God's people, the importance of the grace of God in a nation, the importance of the grace of God in a home, the importance of the grace of God in a church and in a life. Amen. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 tonight, and we'll pray and then dive into this chapter. We've been looking at the last chapter in the epistles of Paul, and we've kind of just titled the whole series, "The Importance of the Grace of God." I've not numbered them. I don't know what number this would be. But they've all been good in my life. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you for your presence. I pray, dear Father, tonight that you would help us to glean from the Word of God truth that, Lord, truly would change our lives. And help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus. The songwriter said, "More of his saving fullness see, more of the one who died for me." I pray, Lord, tonight that the message would prove to be a blessing in the hearing of your precious people. Lord, help our people tonight, Lord, that are suffering. Help our people tonight, Lord, some are nearing the shore. They're fixing, Lord, to meet the one they've served for years and years and years. And God, if it could be in your will, make their crossing easy. Just help them across the river, Lord. And Lord, we'll give you glory because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look here in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. There's a lot going on in the chapter, but God's helped me to bring it down to three things tonight. The Bible said, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they're brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil, surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. This will be the first part of the lesson tonight, these first verses right here. And I titled this first part, The Importance of the Grace of God in Our Positions. And you will understand that in just a moment. The Bible in the first two verses is talking about slavery. It's talking about a master and a slave. It was common in Bible days, amen, to have a slave. And God is talking about in the first two verses about maybe you have an unbelieving master, but you have a responsibility to that master because of your position underneath him. We're living in a society today that doesn't want anything to do with authority. Amen. They're kicking authority to the curb. Amen. And God is teaching us in these two verses. You say, now, Pastor, we don't have slavery anymore. And I believe there's an application here to the job. Let me give you what I'm talking about here, beloved. I believe you'll be able to relate to this. You can think back in the workforce. Think back in the places where that you've worked. I know I was able to do that today. But we've got a boss, so to speak. There's two things here that I believe are very important. God wants us to yield to that person that's in authority over us. I believe God wants us to pray for that person. You say, Pastor, what if that person's wicked? Then they need extra prayer. Say amen. And the Bible said, you say, well, Pastor, they treated me wrong. Well, the Bible said, pray for them that despitefully use you. Amen. But there's two things right here that really caught my attention. You say, Pastor, what's at stake on the job, when we're on the job? Number one, the name of God. Look at it right there in verse number one, that the name of God, and then the Word of God said number two, and His doctrine be not blasphemed. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, on any given job, there'll be people that'll just fall in line and they'll do their job and they're glad to have a job. They're glad to go to work. And there'll be other people griping on every corner. Amen? And you can join up with them that's griping and you can take sides against the boss, so to speak. But I'm telling you, it's contrary to the Word of the living God. Amen? And I believe with all of my heart. Listen, first of all, let me just say this. A boss that's worth his salt realizes he's got a boss too. I don't care if he runs the whole show. You see, that's not going on in some of our corporations right here in Kingsport right now. Because, beloved, if the one that's running the whole show understood, beloved, that he ain't really running the whole show, but there's one sitting in heaven that he's going to answer to, it changed some things, amen, in that corporation. I believe that with all of my heart. But God said for us here, He said, let as many as servants are under a yoke count their masters worthy of all honor. You think about that for just a moment. And think about how much smoother things would go, amen, if we counted that person worthy of all honor. And they that have believing masters. Now, God said that, first of all, He made a distinction. He said, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever, doesn't matter, they're your master. They're in a position, and you're in a position under them. And therefore, God says, watch how you talk. Watch how you walk. Watch how you behave. Amen? Because God doesn't want His name to be blasphemed. And He doesn't want His doctrine to be blasphemed. And I tell you, I believe that's important. We got to watch it. I said anywhere you go. It doesn't matter where you go. Go to church, go to school, go to the job. I believe anywhere you go, if you looked hard enough, you could find a right crowd and a wrong crowd. Amen? And God wants us to be careful. Amen? That we count our masters worthy of honor. And if we have a believing master, we need to remember they're our brother in Christ, amen, that we're brethren. And I believe that's good. And the Bible said in verse 3, And if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, how many believes there's a lot of people in the world teaching otherwise? You better, and they won't consent. In other words, Brother Steve, they won't receive this teaching. I don't care what you say. He's a sorry boss, and I'm going to run him in the ground if I want to. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, I love this, which is according to godliness. Have you ever heard anybody say something like this? Doctrine's not important. Well, I'm telling you, they just told you how stupid they are. Amen. Doctrine is what the Word of God teaches. Amen. False doctrine is that that's contrary to the Word of God. But God's doctrine is according to godliness. And it's very, very important. And the Bible said, here's the problem. Right here, in these three words is the problem. He's proud. He thinks he knows more than the boss. Amen. I ran into a fellow one time. Oh, I'm telling you what the truth. It was a bad situation. I was real young. I think I was about 17 years old. I really wasn't supposed to be doing what I was doing. You're not supposed to be hanging out over a river on a scaffold welding when you're 17 years old. But anyway, I don't know if they asked me my age or I don't know if I lied about my age. I've known to do things like that in those days. Amen. But anyway, I was hanging out over a river welding and I got my job done. And I come into the shop, and we were doing a simple job, just a simple job. And all we were doing was taking 3/8-inch round rod and making a square out of it, about 4 foot square. And what they were going to do was use them to tie a dip net to dip for white perch fish. I mean, it really wasn't critical or anything like that, but they wanted them 4 foot square. And so the boss's son was doing this job. And he was Jimmy Jr., and James was his daddy, and he owned the whole outfit. And, he was the boss, and, of course, his son had much seniority over me. And I told him, I said, brother, there's a lot faster way to do that, a lot quicker way to do that. He said, how's that? And he said he was taking a tape measure. He'd measure down the rod, mark it 4 foot. He'd heat it right there, and he'd bend it. He'd put a square on it, square it up. Then he'd measure down 4 foot. He'd heat it. He'd bend it, put a square on it, bring it all the way around. He had made two of them. I said, listen, you got 20 to do. I said, there's a lot quicker way to do that. In a welding shop, you've got a big old table that's about that thick. Where you can weld on top of it, tack things to it, make a jig and all that. I said, take that one you just made and lay it down there on the table and take you four little pieces of that rod like that, set it right in the corner and tack it to the table. And I'm standing there trying to explain this to him, and his daddy walked up. And his daddy heard him arguing with me. I know what I'm a-doing. And his daddy said, what's going on here? And he said, he's trying to tell me to take a little piece of rod and tack it to that table right there and just bend them things around that little piece of rod. He said, son, he's right. And he said, it'll be a great day when you understand you don't know everything. He said, tack them pieces of rod in there and bend them things around. Get this job done. Let's get on to the next one. Amen. Now listen to me. There have been times when I've been right. There have been times when I've been wrong. But what God is saying here, beloved, it's important to understand that we are, as Christians, are to yield to those that are in authority over us. Amen? You know, a lot of people get in trouble with the law, but I just about guarantee you never get in trouble with the law if he says put your hands on the steering wheel, if you put them up there. Never get in trouble with the law. If he says don't reach in that glove box and you keep digging that glove box, you're going to get in trouble with the law. Amen. If you just listen. Amen. And I believe that's where we've got a society today. Listen to me. It's no great, my friend, it's no surprise they won't listen to the law when they wouldn't listen to the mama, they wouldn't listen to their daddy, they wouldn't listen to the principal, they wouldn't listen to the pastor, they wouldn't listen to the Sunday school teacher. It's no surprise. Amen. They know everything. But God said for us not to be that way. He said perverse. He's proud. I love that. Knowing nothing. You know who he's talking about? Those that think they know everything. Knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife with words, whereof cometh envy and strife, railing, evil, surmising, perverse disputings of men, and corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. I'll tell you tonight, in our possessions, we see the importance of the grace of God. Secondly tonight, in our possessions, we see the importance of the grace of God. He said, Pastor, what do you mean? I believe this is very important. The Bible said here in verse 5, second part of the verse, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. I wish I could preach that to every one of those TV evangelists that preach that health and wealth gospel that says, you know, if you love God and you live for God, you'll drive the finest, live in the finest, you'll be healthy, you won't be sick and all this. That's a mess out of hell. Say amen. Send us a sow a seed, they say. Why? Because I need another airport and another airplane. The Bible said here what they're doing is supposing that gain is godliness. The Bible said, from such withdraw thyself. But then the Bible said this, we're talking about possessions now. The grace of God in our possessions. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I want you to look at this. He said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I believe God wants us to understand the grace of God and the importance of His grace. When you're looking at our possessions, two ways I want to show you in the Scripture. Number one, in light of time. And number two, in light of eternity. God's going to show us those right here. In light of time and in light of eternity. You say, Pastor, what do you mean in light of time? You know, a person that's walking in the grace of God, they realize something that other people don't realize. And that is this. Everything they have is borrowed. They realize that this world's going to get so hot one day that even a brick house is going to melt with fervent heat. And they realize that life is short. And they realize that our possessions are temporary. Watch what the Word of God said here. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. He said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, I'm going to show you a verse a little bit later that I believe will help us tonight. Watch what he said here. But they that will be rich. Now listen to me. You can will be rich without being rich. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, that's all they live for. Listen, I heard this years ago. It's not original with me, but I'd love to repeat it tonight. A man is not rich in respect to what he has. He is rich in respect to what he wants. Do you understand that? The millionaire that wants another million is not rich. But a man that's got food and he's got raiment, he's got a roof over his head, shoes on his feet, and understands he's got a home in heaven that outshines the shop, he's rich. He's rich. Jesus said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, I'm trying to quote it tonight, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Beloved, one old preacher said, when I get through preaching, I'll stand at the back door. He said, I want everybody to shake my hand, go out in the community, and tell everybody, you see, I shook hands with a poor boy that's got everything. In respect to our possessions, the importance of the grace of God.
The Bible said here, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money. A lot of people get these verses mixed up. They'll say money's the root of all evil. You can't have a good missions program without money. Amen? You can't buy a boatload of Bibles without money. Ask Brother Coulter, amen? I mean, he's bought them and bought them and bought them and delivered them, and God's people, he's just been the channel. They send it to him and he sends it on down the road, amen? But it takes money to do that. We'll be voting on a budget in next month, in a few weeks here. We'll be voting on a budget and getting ready to go into another year here at Bible Way. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We don't love it, do we? Huh? We don't love money. Amen? We love Jesus. And you love Jesus if you got money, and you love Jesus if you ain't got money. Our possessions, the importance of the grace of God. Look here, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I knew a fellow one time, I won't say his name, God knows his name, but when that extra shift come up on Sunday, he'd rather do that than be in the house of God. Now, I know sometimes, beloved, listen, plants go through different phases and different things, and you have to work, and I believe you ought to yield to that. But I don't believe God's people ought to be volunteering for every extra shift on Sunday. Say amen. They've got their priorities out of order. Amen. Especially when there's two cars and a boat. Amen. And a camper, and all that. But I'll tell you tonight, we'll stand before God. Amen. Do we love our money? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I love verse 11. See, Paul is addressing his son in the faith. He's saying, Timothy, be careful. Oh, I remember years ago, I sat down at Cracker Barrel on the Jonesboro exit, Brother Steve, with, oh my goodness, Pastor Buffalo Ridge, the older gentleman, Brother Gene Lashley. I sat down there with Brother Gene, and Brother Gene was, I was going to present the work when I was with Rock of Ages on a Wednesday night, and he was telling me, Brother Vinoy, I want you to preach. When you get done preaching, he said, I want you to give an invitation. He said, if you can't give an invitation in my church, you can't give one in prison. That's what he told me. He didn't care to tell you, amen. You get his age, it don't matter what you say, amen. Kind of like Brother Don, say what you want to, amen. Then he said this. He said, Brother Vinoy, this is what he said. Listen to me carefully. I was a young man at the time, or much younger anyway. He said, if a man can preach a lick, that's what he said. If a man can preach a lick, he can make it in the ministry. Said if he'll keep his hands clean in two areas. Women and money. I believe the man of God was right. Say amen. And you say, Pastor, why did you say that? Because Paul knew that, and he's trying to encourage Timothy, don't you get wrapped up in this gospel of riches. Amen. You keep your faith first, not your finances. A man that keeps his faith first, God will take care of his finances. I can tell you that from experience over and over and over. The Bible said here, thou, O man of God, watch this now. Flee these things. Run from them, Timothy. But he said, don't just flee. I think that's one thing that happens in our preaching sometimes if we're not careful. We preach the negative, but you better preach the positive. There's some things to run from, but God said, don't just flee. I want you to follow. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Beloved, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Turn over a little bit here, and I'll come back to the last thing in a moment, but I'm still on possessions, the grace of God, and the importance of the grace of God when we're dealing with our positions, when we're dealing with our possessions. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 14 says, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said we ought to watch out with our possessions in light of time, but we also ought to watch out with our possessions in light of eternity. He's coming, and we're going to stand before Him. Amen. And He knows all about our checkbook. Amen. And the Word of God said here, which in His time He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto Him, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. When we're thinking about our possessions, beloved, listen, we need to be thinking about it not only in light of time, but in light of eternity. Notice what the Word of God said in verse 17. I'm still on the possessions, and I'll get to the last thing tonight. He said, charge them that are rich in this world. Charge them. Tell them, Timothy, that they be not high-minded. He said, don't tell them. If just because they're rich, they better not be like verse number 4. They better not be proud. They better not be high-minded. Have you ever met somebody that's rich in the things of this world and at the same time is rich in the grace of God, and they're humble? They're not proud. They know where their blessings come from. If you need something, they're quick to try to help you. Years ago, I just made a statement. I got hit hard on taxes. A pastor pays estimated taxes quarterly. And I can't remember exactly what the ordeal was, but I got hit hard. And I was just talking about getting hit hard. And a man said to me, what do you need, Pastor? I said, brother, I don't need anything. I've got it covered. But it's humbling that somebody would think enough of you to just say, what do you need, Pastor? Amen? You know what that means? That means, beloved, listen, he has the means, but he realized who's it belonged to. Amen? The Bible said you brought nothing in, you're not going to take anything out. Now watch this now. This is important tonight. Please, I think this is very, very important. Some people come across in their preaching or their teaching like you ain't got no business having anything. Amen? But I want you to see this tonight. I think it's important. Look at verse 17. Be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. You remember when the stock market crashed? You know what happened? The suicide rate went through the roof. I'm talking about back there in the Depression. You know why? People had their trust in uncertain riches. The bottom fell out of their hopes, so to speak. But I tell you, that woman washing dishes, that woman still washing clothes on a washboard, that woman that didn't even know how to spell stock market was still singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. But watch this now. He said, tell them not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now notice this statement right here. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know what that means, Brother Michael? It's okay to have a boat. It's okay to have a fishing pole. It's okay to have a camper. It's okay to go on vacation. It's okay to have a nice house. It's okay to have a nice car. Just don't forget who gave it to you.
Amen. Right.
Enjoy it. God said He gave it to us richly. It's okay to have a nice building to worship in. even though I think the meetings were better when the pews were pinching butts. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And slats. Maybe that's where the amens come from, or oh me, amen. Yo! All I'm saying is, don't get your eyes on the stuff and take your eyes off of the Savior. If you just realize everything you have, God give it to you. And He give it to you, the Word of God said right there, richly to enjoy. You know what's sad? There's a lot of people that's got all kinds of stuff and they don't enjoy anything. They don't enjoy anything. They don't enjoy fellowship with God. They don't enjoy fellowship with God's people. They don't enjoy prayer. They don't enjoy the Word of God. They don't enjoy giving. Did anybody hear what I just said? You know, God loveth a cheerful giver. Somebody enjoys it. That's what the Bible said. And so, then watch verse 18. It goes along with what I've said. I kind of got hung up on possessions. The Bible said that they do good. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Ain't that good? Ready. You know what God's people really, if God's blessed you, you know what you ought to be doing? You ought to have your eyes wide open and your heart wide open, looking for somebody to help. Ready to distribute. Brother Steve, you were talking about Harmony Church Missions. I get that mixed up a lot. You done found that out in the text. It's HMC or HCM, but it is Harmony Church Missions. It's not a church, but it's a mission to support churches and to help people. That's what it is. It was designed that way. But, you know, Brother Steve's up here advertising and saying, listen, if you know somebody. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with that. But I'll tell you something right now. Shame on us if we know somebody that needs something and we got it and we don't give it to them. There's scripture on that. And if y'all keep looking at me like that, I'll look it up. Amen. The Bible said we're supposed to work with our hands that we might have to give to him that hath not. You can read it over there. I don't know exactly where, but I can find it if you want me to. It's there. In the Word of God. Amen. And I believe that. Now, turn to Psalm chapter 62, verse number 10. We're going to be just a few minutes. That's okay. I want to get this done tonight so we can move on. Maybe Sunday night to the next text. Psalm chapter number 62 and verse number 10. Listen to this. The Bible said here, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. The Bible said, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. That's where the problem comes. The problem don't come, you know, when you get the raise, or the problem don't come. By the way, I'll just go ahead and say this. I think one of the problems in our society is young'uns get married sometimes 18, 19, 20 years old, and they think by the time they're 22, they're supposed to have everything daddy's got, and he's 62. It took 40 years. It didn't happen overnight, amen. It took more than two credit cards and a wish. Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? It'll get you in trouble. He said, don't set your heart on those riches. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 20. I don't know why I made these notes in there, but it did. So it must be something good. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 20. Is that what I said, 27:20? Yes. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 20. Oh, I know why I put that in there now. Watch this now. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. I want to say this tonight. That should never be true of God's people. The Bible just taught us just the opposite. We should be content. We should be satisfied with that God has provided for us. Amen? Let me give you this last thing real quickly. not only do we see the importance of the grace of God in our positions, the importance of the grace of God in our possessions, but we see the importance of the grace of God in our professions. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? How many of you profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? How many of you all have people on the job, people in your family? They know how you profess. They know where you stand, okay? Well, here's what the Word of God said. Fight, look at verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul had a Timothy already, Brother Jason, had a good reputation. He had already professed a good profession before many witnesses. Many knew where Timothy stood, and many knew that Timothy professed to know the Lord as his Savior. And so we need the grace of God in guarding that profession. I'll show you what I mean. The Bible said here, I give thee charge in the sight of God, in verse 13, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. You see, he's giving him a comparison here. He's saying, Timothy, it might get rough, but I wonder how rough it got on Jesus. And yet before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed a good confession. Ain't that good? You know what some people do? They witness a good confession when things are going well. And when things aren't going well, words start coming out of their mouth that don't belong in a Christian's mouth. Attitudes start coming out of their heart that don't belong in a Christian's heart. Amen? And God is saying, listen, just be careful. We need the grace of God. I remember being a teenager and Daddy saying, son, we don't have much. He said, if something doesn't change, we probably never will have much. That statement reminds me of the fellow that told me one time, he said, I'm working on my second million. I said, really? He said, yeah, I gave up on the first one a long time ago. Amen. You'll get that after a while. Amen. He didn't strike me as a rich guy. Amen. So he just gave up on the first one, moved on. Amen. To the second one. But I tell you, Daddy said, we've got a good name. And I believe tonight, if you're a Christian, you don't have just a good name. You have the best name. Amen. The name of Christ is in that Christian. And God said that's what's at stake. The name of God and His doctrine. That it be not blasphemed. Amen. Watch this now about our profession. The Bible said here in verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, Timothy, I read words like that right there, and I wonder what it sounded like coming from Paul's mouth. I believe it was full of compassion. I don't know how you would maybe mimic what he said, but oh, Timothy, he said, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He said, Timothy, I don't want you just to keep what I've committed to you, but there's some things I want you to avoid, son. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Don't get yourself all tied up. I remember one time I hadn't been saved long, and I just wanted to get all the knowledge that I could, Brother Jason. I was hungry. I just wanted to get all the knowledge. So I thought one time, I'm going to study about all these cults. You know what I mean? And there was a guy come through our church. He was a banker. He used to be a banker, but now he was a preacher. And he said, somebody asked him, he said, down at the bank, he said, how do you all keep up with all that counterfeit money? He said, we don't. He said, what do you mean you don't? He said, the only thing we study at the bank is real money. He said, when a counterfeit comes along, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And God delivered me, Brother Steve. I didn't have enough time to study the truth and the other side too. Amen. God said, you just get your nose in that book and study that book, amen. And I'll take care of when the counterfeit comes along. You'll recognize it, amen. And he said, Timothy, avoid profane and vain babblings, oppositions of science, falsely so-called. By the way, beloved, we're facing that today. You can say whatever you want to. You can listen to Al Gore sitting over there in that conference talking about the oceans boiling. And Florida is supposed to already be underwater, amen, years ago. And I'm telling you what's the truth. There's a bunch of people getting rich because there's a bunch of fools believing them. Amen. I'm going to tell you who's in charge of this thing, beloved. It ain't the exhaust pipe on the jet. It's a God that's on the throne. Amen. And it'll be here day and night. The seasons will be here until Jesus comes. Science, falsely. He said, don't you get wrapped up in that mess, Timothy. Then the Bible said, which some professing, there's that word again, have erred concerning the faith. And then he said, grace be with thee. The importance of the grace of God in our positions, in our possessions, and in our profession as a child of God. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.